This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hey, Mark, fake banter for the intro.
That's all I know how to do.
Great.
Good to be here.
Welcome to Tuesdays with
Stories.
Hit her in the face with a surfboard.
And then the duck fell out of his bag.
Surf's up. And she didn't even flush.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? Mark Norman and Joe List.
Yeah! This is Tuesdays with Stories, everybody.
No, that's terrible.
This is supposed to be cheesy.
My radio is spitting at me.
Ah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Tuesday's finally here, folks. Thanks for listening. You know where you are. You know who this is. And you know who that is. That's Joe Armpit Toot List. Welcome back to another ep. Good to have you back. Good to be here. Woo! Summer in New York.
It's nice out there, isn't it?
It's a little hot for me.
Hot.
Too hot. I can't take it.
Hot.
I like a fall. That's my jam.
Well, the problem with the fall is you have that feeling of like, here comes winter. But summer's great is like you got summer and then here comes the fall.
Yeah, I hear you, but I do love that first moment when you walk outside and you're like, oh shit, I'm not hot.
It's crisp.
I love a crisp.
But the summer, you get that breeze coming in, everyone's biking, and there's girls in the park in bikinis, and it's festive, you have the 4th of July, and your vacation, and people are going out to the Hamptons.
Right, and I love that look of every outdoor restaurant full of people talking and eating. That's a great look.
I love it. The cocktail hour, and the Riverside Park, and Central Park. It's a great time to be alive, a great city. Washington Square Park, and Madison Park is fucking spectacular.
Yes. Ooh, that's a great point. I mean, summer's got a good look. I just hate, because I'm already an anxious nutcake, and then I feel that sweat coming on, and it builds, my anxiety goes way up, and then you feel your jean ball sweat, and your swamp ass. Yeah. It starts to piss me off.
Yeah, it's hot, but you live in the city. You wear shorts, you put on your pants.
Yeah, you make it work.
I bring a backpack. I'll put shorts. I forgot to bring shorts today. I want to go ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle.
Now, let me throw this one at you there, fatty. Because yeah. I went to Chipotle today, as we often do, and I went to my favorite one, 6th Avenue and 8th Street, I guess it is.
No line.
No line ever, and they load you up, because no one comes in, so they give you a wad of barbacoa. So this guy goes in right before me. I was like, God damn, he beat me to the door. And he was like this real blue-collar Brooklyn mook, you know, one of these big-necked fuckers with short hair and earrings.
Of course.
And so he goes in. And he's like, you could tell he'd never been there. And he's like, give me the wrap thing. Give me the wrap. I'm like, oh, I got stuck behind this fucking chooch.
I hate the people that have never been to Chipotle.
I know. Get it together, you loser.
What are you doing?
Yeah. So he's like, I'll do the wrap thing. Yeah, the wrap. And then he's like, all right, I'll do the darker rice. Give me more rice. More rice. You can tell they don't want to get more rice, but they do it because he's terrifying. And he's like, all right, yo, what is that? What is that right there? Like pointing over the glass.
Ah, the over the glass point.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And they're like, that's carnitas. Is it carnita? It's pork. Oh, pork. Give me the pork. It's like, all right, God damn it. And I kept ordering. He kept looking back at me because, you know, I like to get in there. I'm like, oh, I'll do a bowl for here, brown rye, pinto. I know what I want. He kept looking at me like, who's this homo? Oh, this guy's really singing and dancing back here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did a thing I really hate. He got the water cup, which is my move, fills it up with Coke. The water cups are clear now.
Yes, a lot of clear cups.
They've gotten onto us, which, you know, I get it. We've been stealing for years. We had a good run. But he fills it with Coke and just sits there at the table. All the employees are walking by, and it's like, they're like, geez, what? I mean, that's a blatant fuck you.
Blatant fuck you. Don't like this guy.
Brown Coke. Right there. Open to everyone.
I love Coke. I'm back on the Coke train. I got to stop. Boy. I got the cavities and the sugar and the crashing, but I just love it. I love it. It's so good.
I find it too sweet.
I find you too sweet, but I still hang out with you.
Well, I'll give you a toothache. But yeah, I don't know. I hated this guy, but I just felt like I wanted to like throw him out, and I'm a water cup stealer myself.
Yes,
but,
you are.
But I have
for
some,
years.
I have some tact. I put a dash of lemonade in there, and I fill the rest up with water, so it's not. It's like a cloudy water.
Uh-huh.
Just to go straight Coke is a slap in the cunt.
Yeah, he sounds like a real jerkus circus, this guy, and I hope he gets what's coming to him, and what's coming to him is a big, fat,
Knuckle sandwich.
A sandwich of knuckles. It's really not a sandwich. How about this? Have you ever heard of this? People are calling hot dog sandwiches. You ever heard of this?
I don't know. I've never heard it. I don't like it already.
I'm doing the show MSG Network. People talking sports and other stuff, starring Sam Morril and co-starring myself. Happy to be on the show. Very proud of it. Check it out, MSG Networks. Go support Sam. And
yes, funny show. I watched them all already.
Great show. Stavros, Anthony DeVito. It's a lot of fun.
Chris D. Soder.
But one of the questions they wanted me to ask the people is a hot dog a sandwich? And I went, well, get out of here with this. This hot dog's not a sandwich. That's ridiculous.
That's why it's not called a sandwich. It's called a hot dog.
Why would anyone call it a sandwich? And people are like, you wouldn't believe. And I got in an argument with the 17-year-old intern kid. He's like, no, it is. And I hated this kid. I start asking, like 60% of the people were like, oh, yeah, it's a sandwich. Because it's bread, I guess.
I mean, it is meat with bread on the outside, but it's a tubed meat, and it's open. It's different.
No one ever says, I want a sandwich. Let me get a hot dog.
Never said once.
It's horseshit. I hate this new. I hate it. I feel like an old man.
I mean, my mom is a very resourceful whore, and she would put a hot dog with a, you know, rolled up piece of, you know, bread.
Yes.
Like sandwich bread, but that was just because we didn't have buns in the house.
Right. But, and she's a cook lady.
She's a foodie.
But she doesn't call it a hot dog sandwich.
You got that right. She knows better. I'd slap her. I'd give her a taste of the back of my hand.
She's got a museum, for God's sake.
A food museum.
There's no hot dog sandwich exhibit. Shelby, you ever call a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Shelby's not even getting on the microphone. How about you, young lady?
I have not.
Uh-huh. She has not either, and she's from Quebec.
Are you from Quebec? Quebec.
No, I'm from Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut. That's much different.
Connecticut.
Connecticut's a hell of a state.
It's all right. It's got its ups and downs.
I don't love it. Bridgeport's a nightmare. Hartford sucks.
A lot of
bad. No offense. Haven's got some problems.
Yeah, Greenwich is about it. You got Greenwich.
But Greenwich is filled with these fucking 1% cocksucking rich pieces of garbage.
Well, I mean, why is someone a piece of garbage because they're rich?
Not necessarily, but these people are particularly. These are like the hedge fund fucking top people that are making all these horrible laws and such.
Uh-huh. They make laws?
Oh, you better believe it. That's who's running the show, these billionaires.
Interesting.
No, make no mistake, my friend.
All right.
But there's plenty of rich people that are wonderful. Louis C.K.
Yeah, I feel like if I was a billionaire, I'd just get on a boat and fuck chicks and drink beer and hang out.
Well, you might be a different kind.
Maybe I am.
It's also a New England state that roots for the Yankees. Get real over there.
Oh, you hate the Yanks.
Oh, I hate the Yanks.
What is the Yank hate? Is it just they do well?
Well, they do well. It's rivals. You know, you're in the same division. You're close. There's probably some inferiority complexes, and they've had a lot of brawls. And,
they buy their team.
It's the number one rival. You know, you're fighting back and forth, and they're also very hateable through the years. You know,
cocky.
A lot of douchey fans a lot of the times. They show up in the fall all of a sudden. They fucking take me. And just come on with that.
The guy at Chipotle was definitely a Yankee fan.
It sounds like a real Yankee fan, this guy. Mm-hmm. But don't get me wrong, I love the Yankee, blah, blah, blah. Don't tweet at me.
You can't go the other way with it.
I know, but these people, they write to you. Ah, blah.
Oh, boy. People now, they can't have a disagreeance.
Agreeance?
Yeah. Well, if someone disagrees with someone now, they just go, ah, you're crazy, fuck you. No one ever listens to anyone anymore. It's wild out there.
It's a whole thing. We're incommunicado. And
completely.
You need face-to-face. The internet's too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I hate the internet. It's all this.
If people go right to cocksucker. You know, there's no debating. There's no let's get to the bottom of this. It's just, hey, fuck you. You don't agree with me? Blow me, faggot.
Somebody sent me, some kind fan sent me a thing about tinnitus.
Who?
Which is your ears ringing.
Tinnitus?
It's called tinnitus.
The Greek god of ear ringing?
We say tinnitus sometimes.
Oh, tinnitus.
But it's actually tinnitus.
I don't like the sound of that.
No, when I went to the doctor, they all said tinnitus. All these ear, nose, throat. They said it's tinnitus, tinnitus, tinnitus. And then you look it up, tinnitus, it's not actually an itis. It's an itis. It's I-T-I-S.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent this video out. This guy sent me a video, a fan. Thank you. Very thoughtful. Our fans are so thoughtful, may I say.
Good eggs.
All just such kind, thoughtful, wonderful people, and we're very grateful.
They're smart, too. We got smart fans, which is nice.
I agree, because we say a lot of dumb things, but we have the, we put faith that you understand that we're being numbskulls here.
Yeah, we're being ironic, and it's all under the umbrella of silliness and humor.
Quite silly.
Very.
We're lovers. Yeah. We're lovers and
fighters.
We're pretty intelligent people.
Oh, yeah.
But so anyways, we appreciate your intelligence. But anyways, this guy sent me a tinnitus video.
Tinnitus.
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 Tinnitus, anyone?
Tinnitus elbow.
So I went and watched the video, and then I read the comments, and they're all calling it tinnitus in the video.
Oh, there you go.
And then this guy writes, fucking dumb fuck video. It's tinnitus, you fucking faggot retard. I hope you die, your mother's cunt. And then this lady's like, no, it is tinnitus. She's like, I'm an ear, nose, throat doctor,
yes.
And it's spelt this way. And the guy's like, fuck you, you whore. You got to go read this thing. It's crazy.
Let me guess. He didn't write back. I had no idea. Thank you for clearing that up, my lady.
Exactly. And they're just going back and forth. And she's like, this is really a strange way to treat people. Like,
oh, good for her.
Yeah. And it's like literally the first 11 comments. And he's like, fuck you, guy. You fucking
wow.
liberal. It like literally gets political. He's like, you liberal faggots don't know what you're talking about.
I don't get the anger. Why not go? I thought it was tinnitus. I don't get it. You guys, I think you guys might be off here or something. Why just the fuck you? That's
yeah,
the crazy part.
It's strange. Like, exactly. Like, I went to the doctor. They all said tinnitus. And I was like, oh, I guess it's tinnitus.
There you
Interesting.
Go. You're a decent human being.
I'm not like, get out of here, you guys. Like,
right.
licking all their ear shit and, like,
yeah.
stepping on the telescope or whatever's
right.
in there.
You break the big ear model over your knee. Silly.
It's just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And it's one of those things where if someone's like, it's this. And you're like, okay, well, listen. All the people that are in the ear business are calling it this.
Yes.
And itis, I even read this, is in the comment. Like, an itis is an inflammation, but that's not what tinnitus is. It's not an itis.
It's a ringing.
Like, tonsillitis is, like, inflamed tonsils. It's nothing's inflamed.
Yes.
So, anyways, and she, like, explained it, like, perfectly. She's like, it's spelt this way, and it's actually not inflammation. The guy's like,
yeah.
fuck you, you whore.
And you know this guy's on his job site with a Budweiser going, I was online today. These fucking asshole numbskulls don't know what they're doing.
And then the other guy's going, what?
Tinnitus. Right.
But this happens. Like, I talked about this before. I posted a picture. I was reading Al Michaels' book. Because I was reading Al Michaels and Larry David and Bernie Sanders.
The
and
big
one other.
Jews.
All at the same time. I was like, I'm obsessed with Brooklyn Jews. And some woman, and Dick Schaap was the other one. And this woman wrote, Al Michaels is Greek, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Again, like, shitty. But I'm like, all right. Well, I'm reading his autobiography.
Right.
And according to that, he's Jewish.
Yes.
But perhaps you know a little bit more than Al Michaels know. And you
yeah.
can't. And she doesn't write back, oh, God, I'm sorry,
exactly.
I'm stupid. It's just.
Then they tap out.
But that's why, I mean, it's been talked about a lot, but that's why human communication with face, we're human beings speaking to each
yes,
other.
Yes, yes.
The internet, there's no backing down and nobody knows. It's just.
But
garbage.
It's crazy to think that these guys are roaming the streets. These guys are in line with you at Pizza Hut, you know? They're right there with you, and they're just crazy people who want to fight, and it's clearly all inferiority thing. You know, they're like, oh, this guy thinks he's smarter than me? Well, how about this, you fucking nut, bitch?
Yeah, it's a lot of unhappiness, and this is why all this Buddha stuff is really wonderful. It gets you in therapy and the Buddhism and the stuff, and we gotta love more and treat each other a lot kinder, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's just crazy. It's just it's a overcompensation. Like, oh, shit, they think I'm dumb. I'm going to be mean back. I'll kill you.
Yeah, it's a lot. But it's been pointed out before, too. Like, you would never talk to somebody like that in person.
No.
Like, if you were just talking and you were like, oh, I have tinnitus, you wouldn't be like, tinnitus? You fucking moron?
Right.
But in the internet, people, they're hiding behind the thing so they can just say whatever they want.
I know, but that's what worries me, is that they want to say that. That's what scares me.
Yeah, I guess. There was an article about how, like, Twitter trolls are actually bad people.
Yeah, I believe it.
But
I will say, I've had a few times where somebody's like, blah, 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 Mark Norman, I hate him, I can't say that fucking cum face, jizz, dick, faggot, mofo, son of an onion. And then I favorite it. And then they write back like, oh, geez, I didn't think you'd actually hear this. I'm so sorry. I hate myself. I love you. I'm gay. Ah.
Yeah, if you respond to people, sometimes they're like, oh, hey, I don't blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Some guy said all this shit about me, and I favorited it. And he's like, I didn't think you'd see it. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm a big fan. I'm like, big fan. But you just said these horrible things. And then out of guilt, he started retweeting all my stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Weird. People are so fucking weird.
I was talking to Louis, if I may name drop, about a thing, but... You know, we were talking about sometimes he'll go read a thing and someone was like, oh, this special was the worst special of his. And then we kind of talked about it like sometimes, though, like the guy's a huge fan, but like sometimes debating is part of being a fan of
yeah,
something.
Yeah, sure.
Like I'll argue you know, you argue with the Beatles and the Stones. I've gotten in almost fist fights arguing Pryor or Carlin.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, or Pryor Cosby, I should say. But, like, it's just because you're a fan. So you argue, like, no, that one's not as good.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they fucking think you suck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just hard sometimes. You hear so many negative things, like, I didn't like that joke. You're like, fuck you, you don't have to write a joke. You can think you can do better, but maybe they just didn't like the joke. It's all right.
Yeah, you got to just accept. And then there's an old sentiment, how people feel about you is none of your business. You know?
I like that.
Well, like sometimes people will do that. Sometimes people will be like, hey, so-and-so said this about you. And you're like, well, they didn't mean for me to hear that.
Right, right.
So that's not really my business.
But it is kind of nice to know, isn't it?
It's sometimes nice to know, but sometimes you're like, all right, well, that wasn't meant to hear that, so now I'm going to just hate this person for a thing they were going out of their way to keep from hurting me.
Yeah, but if you're an audience member out there listening and you come to a show or see a comic or whoever, see an artist of any kind, enough with the this is what I would have done, or the I like that one but not the rest, just leave all that shit out. No need. That doesn't help anybody.
Yeah. Yep, it's a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of like, huh, that didn't feel great. But then part of that's on us, too, of just, you know, we're in the business, we're putting it out there, and you're ready to be critiqued, blah, blah, blah.
And I am a guy, I read every comment. I've read every comment on every YouTube post I've ever had or any video, and some critiques are good. Like, you talk too fast here. I'm like, he's right, I did talk too fast there. So I take it all in.
Oh, I read none of them.
I read them all. Some are good, some are bad.
Summer. Summer's great. I love summer.
Fall.
Well, speaking of summer and earth and wonderful things and life, I just got back from Nantucket. That's got to be enough of that, I think. Hey. I got to imagine they're not enjoying that.
I don't know.
I think for a second.
I think that was the humor that kept going.
How'd you like it?
Oh,
wow.
You see?
Wow, she's got a thing for you.
No, she's clearly a lesbian.
All right.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Finally, a smirk out of that skank.
Okay.
Joking. Okay. All right, here we go. What do you got about the Tucket?
Boy.
Drop in a bucket.
Yeah, Tucket. She'll think you're a woman.
Uh-huh. Jenner.
Boy, Nantucket is a special place. You ever been to Nantucket?
Never been near it.
Special play. Well, you've been to the Cape.
That counts.
That's pretty close.
Okay. I don't know. It's an island?
It's an island, and it's a magical, special island. My God. I went there in 1994 for a football game. My uncle played at Blue Hills Regional High School.
They got a stadium over there?
Oh, they got a high school football team.
Oh, high school team.
A pretty strong team. So they went. Blue Hills is where my uncle went. Now, Blue Hills is a technical school, so it's filled with, you know, rejects.
Oh, wait, and, so they got a reject school in this beautiful island?
No, Blue Hills is in Massachusetts, in Blue Hills.
I see.
It's in, I don't know, Milton Randolph, sort of.
Uh-huh.
So that's where my uncle went to school. My uncle didn't go to Nantucket.
Got it.
Nantucket is like one of these rich islands.
Got it.
The housing, real estate's more valuable than the Hamptons.
Oh, my Lord.
Because it's so small and unique. In New England, it's the finest surviving example of colonial New England.
Whoa.
It's really spectacular. So I went there in 1994 for this high school football game. So you have all these like technical school kids, which are, you know, dummies.
Riffraff
going to play the Nantucket kids. So it was a real resentful fucking rivalry. And they were undefeated and they were undefeated. And it was this big thing. There ended up being a brawl during the game.
Wow.
And then you got to take a ferry out. So I was on the ferry with my uncle's football team, the whole football team, all the parents and the boosters and the bullshit. And so then these Nantucket fucks, they drove down as the ferry was leaving to give us the finger, going,
whoa!
Hey, fuck you. And one of the kids in Blue Hills, he whipped a beer bottle.
Whoa!
And it smashed. This is like this crazy thing. It was this wild. And I was 12, so I was like, wow.
Oh, my God. Little Liz with his glasses falling off his face.
Didn't have glasses at the time.
But, I'm sorry.
I was afraid. But I had tighty whities, and I really pissed at him.
Probably a skid mark.
So it was this intense thing. And for like, yeah, when you're 12, that's like all you think about the rest of your life. You're like, oh, we should have got him. Imagine if we had. I hate those motherfuckers. And so our whole family had to hate Nantucket.
Yes.
No one buys Nantucket. No one talks about Nantucket. We hate Indians.
Nantucket.
The whole thing. We hate the whole thing. We wouldn't even have a bucket in the house. We wouldn't even, if we had a dick so long, we wouldn't suck it.
Yes.
That's how much we hate Nantucket.
You had a bed with a sheet? You wouldn't tuck it.
No, I wouldn't. I'd cut holes in it and go scare them all.
Yeah, Grand Wizard.
Oh, jeez. So anyways, we always hated Nantucket. We're like, oh, Nantucket. It would come up at like dinner. We're like, what about Nantucket? Oh, don't even mention Nantucket these far.
Uh-huh.
So then, 20 years later, I get the Nantucket Comedy Festival invite.
Yes.
Go out there. And sometimes you have these gigs where you're kind of not even looking forward to it because I was just on vacation. I did a week in Maine. I took a break from the phone and the gig and the whole thing and the family. And I was like, all right, now I'm back. I'm going to go hit the cellar. I'm going to write. I'm going to listen to my sets and blah, 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 blah. So I did that for like 4 days, and now I got to go to Nantucket. I'm only doing one show.
And how many 4 days?
5 days, actually.
5 days.
And so it goes, all right, I got to go on another vacation. So I'm kind of not even looking forward. I'm like, it'll be fun when I get there, but blah, blah. And then I go out to the airport, Teterboro, which brought back some memories.
Oh, yeah.
The whole Louis tour, I'm going out to the private airport. They flew us like a charter flight to Nantucket.
I saw that.
Now, I've got a chance to live around some real wealth because of the Louis tour, and then sometimes you do these weird gigs, and we live in New York. So then I'm going to the thing, charter flight, Tradewind Air, and it's a single prop plane.
Oh, boy,
and
prop.
And I meet Pete Lee there, and we're on the plane. It's all these rich guys with salmon shirts and the thing with the... The owl rim, what do they call them?
Horn rim with the whale shorts.
A lot of whale shorts, a lot of salmon, a lot of loafers. Yeah. And I got some clash issues. I resent the whole thing. And I'm going in there going, Nantucket, Blue Hills. He's
about oh, you got some history. You got a chip.
I got a chip on my dick. I get there, and I land, and right away, you're flying in. It's this beautiful little island. You fly over the Vineyard and all across Long Island and Shelter Island. It's just spectacular. You land, and what a time it was.
Oh!
All these old Boston guys. Jimmy Dunn is there. Don Gavin is there. The fucking legend, Don Gavin. Jimmy Dunn, who you know from the McCarthy's on CBS, which got canceled, which is a bummer. Jim Collin, my old pal. And Kelly McFarland is there. Aaron Jackson, Ophira Eisenberg, Pete Lee, Jared Freed, Emily Tarver. Great hang. And like Gavin's like one of these old-time Boston guys.
Love the Gav.
One of the great comics. One of the great hangs. One of the funniest guys ever.
Yeah, hilarious comic. I still quote his jokes.
Big, big, drunk, nut, party guy. Used to be a school teacher. Didn't start comedy until he was 33 years
old. Whoa, that's my age now.
Unbelievable.
How's the, is he still boozing hard?
Boozing hard, and he's a champ. He's going to the end. There's no sign of stopping.
Good for him.
You know, he's one of those guys that, like, noon, you see him walking to the ice machine. He's ready.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
We pass him walking to town. He's got a whole cocktail. It's like 12:30 in the afternoon. We're coming back with hot dogs and chicken parms, and he's heading out with a drink.
He's got a problem.
Well, he seems to make it work, but...
He's functioning.
Oh, yeah. Fucking such a funny guy. He's one of those guys that's always got a story, always got a quip. Just the funniest guy.
Yeah.
He's like a modern-day Groucho, this guy.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Spectacular. And we get there, we're at the Beachside Inn, and they put us up, and Vic Henley's there, of course, he put the whole thing together. Karen Morgan, I gotta give her a shout-out, she was amazing.
You know what I'm noticing about this group? A lot of positive energy. All the Jared Freed's a happy-go-lucky guy, Pete Lee's the nicest guy on the planet, you're all about good vibes, a lot of good vibes, Vic Henley's all smiles.
It was really nice. Well, that's how they want it, because it's a vacation. It's like a joke festival.
Mm.
I did one 8-minute set on Saturday. I got there on Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
And so it's a weird feel because you hang out, you go to the beach, you ride a bike, you have food, the whole thing, cigars all week. And then you're like, oh, shit, I better get... Oh, I have nothing.
Oh, weird.
It's pretty amazing. It's like a comedian vacation.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this, though, Charlie Brown. And I don't want to bring up any dick-rubbing subject, but... A lot of drinking, a lot of beaching, a lot of nice days, a lot of boats. I mean, don't you just want to crack a cold one?
A little bit. I mean, it sounds fun, you know, but it's the same thing we always talk about. I don't think of the first drink. I think of the last drunk, you see.
Mm.
Like the first beer, I'm like, oh, a nice IPA. A nice IPA would be delicious.
Yeah.
But then I know I'm going to be shitting in my socks and throwing it at a dog and waking up on the roof. And
right.
I woke up early and got a bike. I rented a bike. I rode out to Cisco Beach, which is just open to the ocean, which you don't get a lot out here.
Yeah.
And it's just like these 4-foot swells. I jumped in the water and I'm just letting them hammer me. It's like spiritual, you know?
Yes.
The waves just coming and just breaks right on you.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's like God coming on your face.
Ooh, a God come. A God cocky.
I like it.
All right.
It's just the salt and the shit and it really it's good to let Earth remind you who's in charge, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
Really flips you and flops you, makes you feel small.
And it's where you came from. You came out of that thing.
I came right out of there, right out of my mother's ocean.
Yes, big, wide, smelly ocean.
Wide open spaces.
A lot of seaweed.
Big low tide seaweed festival.
Crabs, too.
So I came out of there, rode my bike around. Great bike ride. There's something so fun about riding your bike to the beach.
Yes.
Swimming and then getting back on the bike and drying up and stand on the downhills to get that. Get the swimsuit flipping and flapping to dry it off.
It's a simpler life.
It's a beautiful life, and the architecture is spectacular. It's all these gray homes and wooden with the peaks and the box.
Yes, the peaks and the valleys.
It's just a spectacular place. Highly recommend. I mean, you probably can't afford to, if you're listening to this, you probably don't have the money to get to Nantucket. It's a crazy expensive place, but...
What about like a cot, a house, a back room?
It's booked, Mark.
You know, I'm saying, like, what about a... Like an Airbnb out there. Is that crazy?
I think it's probably expensive. I don't know. I mean, sure, certainly there's people there. You can get there.
I want to go.
You can do some day tripping, too. It's pretty great. It's a great place, but it's a magical little island. And I felt guilty for hating it for all these years.
Yes.
It's a wonderful place. But we go there, and then the first night, there's a talk with Peter Farrelly is there. He has a new show coming out called Louder Milk.
Louder Milk.
Yes, that's the guy's last name, starring Ron Livingston.
Oh.
Love Livingston.
What's that? Office Space.
Office Space, Swingers. He was in the band of Brothers and all that shit. He's pretty good. But Office Space and Swingers are the big ones.
Yeah.
Which were both 20 years ago. So go support the show.
Help him out. He needs it.
But so anyways, Peter Farrelly's got a new show, and they did like a Q&A. He was on, and then Regan is one of the main characters.
Oh! He got a show finally.
He's on a show and he does some fine acting work.
Oh, good for him.
And so then every night they go to the party. They're like these rich Manhattanite people that have their summer homes and they all want to have this. It's like a Woody Allen movie out there.
Mm-hmm.
They want to have like these societary parties. So they have the comics in. They feel cool, like, bring the comics over to us.
Yes. Entertain us.
Yeah, so we're sitting in a backyard and everyone warned me, like, each night. The houses are going to get more and more crazy. The party's going to be more and more insane.
Oh, really?
So the first night, you're in like this nice, beautiful, little, cottagey-looking house, backyard. They have a bar in the backyard.
Mm.
Set like a tent with a full bar.
Yes.
Open bar in a yard.
Oh, my God.
I'm like
already
a fucking $30,000 dog walking around, you know. It looks like Lassie. And then Bob Lee is there from ESPN. You know him?
I've heard the name.
He's a winner of 8 Emmy Awards. He's one of the original guys from... Guys We Fucked, one of the first guests ever. No, I'm joking.
Oh, wow. That's quite a credit.
He was on ESPN at the very beginning. He does, like, World Cup and everything. He's, like, an award-winning guy. He's there. He's got that voice, and you're like, oh, wow, Bob Lee.
Oh, cool.
And then Jeff Foxworthy is there.
Wow. You might be a Nantucket fan.
He comes over. He's got a broken ankle. He broke him carrying chicken, which I had heard the story. He was bringing chicken to the grill, and he slipped and fell. So Vic Henley told me that story.
Sounds like a bit.
And then he walks over, and Pete Lee and Jerry Frigo, hey, what happened to your ankle? And he goes, man, oh, it's crazy. I was windsurfing. Now, I know the real story, but they don't.
Interesting.
So he's like, I was windsurfing, and just I tried to do a flip, and it fucking net. And I'm like, boy, is this guy going to break character here?
Yeah.
And then Vic Henley walks over. He's like, hey, you tell him about the chicken? And he's like, oh, yeah, I slipped with chicken. So I don't know to this day if he was going to keep this lie going or if he was just kind of doing a bit. But it's very interesting.
Foxworthy's full of shit.
He might be.
I think he is. I think it'd be funner if he was like, what happened to your leg? Oh, I heard it carrying Larry the Cable Guy's career. Something like that.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Yes.
Who's the other one that I don't like?
Oh, Engvall. He's a hack and a half.
Yeah, he stinks.
That guy's shit on a shingle.
The rest are fine, but that guy.
Engvall.
But Foxworthy was nice. Kind of a handsome guy, actually.
I can see he's got a twinkle.
He's got a nice twinkle and a stash and a thing.
In the words of Greg Giraldo, he looks like Magnum P.I. with AIDS.
Oh, that's funny. But you throw with AIDS in there, it's always going to be funny.
It works every time.
It's pretty good. Except for the poor people with AIDS. That sucks for them.
Well, they know who they are.
Remember, hopefully their partners do, too.
Yeah, well, you got to get tested, folks.
Remember that old joke, what do you call Magic Johnson in a wheelchair? Roll AIDS.
Classic. Still works.
Boy, the 90s were fun.
Yeah, that wasn't on CNN.
They don't talk about that on the CNN. I was going to say the same thing.
Great minds.
But anyways, and our minds, too.
Yeah, they're good.
Hey, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Well, we do. It's ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is unbelievable. You can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else.
Wow.
You've got to get on this. Have you tried it at all?
I have a few employees, and they're all blowing hot breath on me.
Hit them with the call to action.
Yes. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listener, our listeners, can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. Free! Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tuesday. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tuesday. One more time, for a free trial, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tuesday.
Yeah, you're going to love this thing. It's a hell of a website, ZipRecruiter, and it's the best thing for you.
Get some employees. Have people working under you.
Anyway, so I talked to Foxworthy. That's exciting. And then Regan shows up. Now, Freed and Lee, Pete Lee, they're kind of fanning out.
Freed and Lee, horrible law firm.
They go, boy, Regan's over there. We want to talk to Regan.
Yeah.
So they talk to his manager, Rosegarden.
What, they got
to
get an in?
They had to get an in. So he goes over. And then you could tell he was really enjoying the fact that he was like, I talked to Brian. It'll be over in a moment.
Of course.
That's the whole thing. We'll talk off, Mike. So then he goes, yeah, Brian should be here momentarily. And then this is a big moment. Because now I've hung out with Regan a few times. And so that's a big moment because you're like, oh, God, I talked about how we know each other. But now this is like a weird moment of truth. And he walks over and goes, hey, List!
Whoa!
Big moment!
How great is that?
Big moment. Everyone's nervous, excited, and going, oh, here we go. And then he walks over and goes, List! He goes, who are these dicks? Or whatever. He made some joke about that. And it was like a running gag for a minute. He's like, well, I don't care about you guys, but Joe List.
Oh, it's great.
But Regan's such a good guy. He has a memory. He's like, we did Ari Shaffir's show, and then you came to the Carolines thing.
Uh-huh.
And it really moved him, that Bennington Carolines thing.
Yeah, what was that about?
They did an Unmasked.
That's right.
And then all these comics showed up, and he couldn't believe that I think he didn't understand how loved he was for a long time.
Well, he's one of the best.
But he's very grateful, very centered, grateful, sweet, sweet man, Brian
Salt
Regan.
Of the earth, humble as a pie.
Good guy, and we all went out to the bar. They kept the bar open late for us. It was Foxworthy and Jackie Flynn and Gavin, and it was so cool to see all those old Boston guys. I love those guys.
Are there people, civilians on the island just jizzing all day like, Foxworthy, holy shit. I mean, he was a giant icon in the 90s.
Well, the party was kind of like an invite only, so they were kind of neat. But then we went to the bar, and it was all these young people. It was like young, because there's all these rich young kids.
Yes.
Trust fund babe, whatever the hell it is. I don't know how it works. But they were all there, but they don't even know who Jeff Foxworthy is,
wow.
These 22-year-old people.
That's crazy.
And he's just a guy with a mustache. And he's on a crutch, so like it's not... Celebrities are often just amongst us, I think.
Yeah, the magic's gone.
And then Peter Farrelly, I don't think anyone recognizes him.
Of course,
he was in Larry David's movie. That's how I know what he looks like.
Clear History.
Yes.
Who was he in that?
He was one of the poker buddies.
Oh, that's right.
He looks like Jeff Bridges.
Yes.
He looks a lot like Jeff Bridges.
He was actually on the Impractical... No, never mind. Never mind.
No good?
Impractical Jokers Cruise had the guy who directed Naked Gun.
Zucker Brothers?
One of the Zuckers.
Oh, wow.
I get them mixed up. Brothers, comedy, good stuff.
Yeah, interesting. They're a big influence on the Farrelly Brothers.
There you go.
But he had a point in one of those talks. He was talking about how influential the Zucker Brothers were because he goes... We used to love Airplane, and he was like, imagine if we gave a shit about the characters.
Oh.
He's like, we're watching Airplane. We know they're not going to crash, and we don't even know anything about them.
Right.
Imagine if it was this funny, but we also cared and knew about them.
Wow, what a good spin.
Which they pulled off a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, Dumb and Dumber, that great speech, you know. He's like, I'm sick and tired of being nobody.
Yeah, right.
Which was fun, because he used that as an example, but then he misquoted it, which is funny, because it's his movie.
Ah. Uh-huh.
But it's my movie. I've seen it 100 times.
Did you nail him?
No, I mean, this is a show thing.
Oh, it's on a stage.
He's on stage talking. But I'm going, that's not the line. But it's so funny because he made the movie. He wrote it and directed it, but that was 20 years ago. He probably didn't watch it twice a year like I do.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm like, that's not even the line, you fucking idiot.
Well, can we hit us with the line?
What's that line? He's like, I'm sick and tired of trying to eke my way through life. I'm sick and tired of being nobody and having nobody, that whole speech.
Yeah.
But he was like, oh, he said some other shit that wasn't even close.
Oh, jeez.
He's like, you remember that scene? And I was like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But anyway, so he was there. We got to chat. He's fun. He's a storyteller. He's, you know, having some cocktails. And then we did karaoke. I'm doing karaoke with Peter Farrelly. And Regan was supposed to leave, but his flight was delayed 7 hours. Eventually, they canceled it because all the flights get canceled because it's all this fog. It's So he shows back up at the party.
What?
And he goes, hey, we played pool. We played a game of pool.
I saw the photo. I was jealous.
It was quite a thrill. And you're going, because to me, I'm shitting my pants. But I'm like, this is great. This is Brian Regan.
Yeah.
The greatest.
To the folks at home, I mean, I'm sure we got some comedy fans. But Brian Regan, just one of the best comedians of all time. Been doing it for a while. Clean. Sells out theaters all over the country. He's got a huge fan base. Never really had a sitcom thing. Never really popped in the sitcom world. But just... one of the best and huge influence on all of us.
Everybody. I mean, the funniest guy. I Walked on the Moon is the funniest special ever.
Yeah.
And just shot another one for Netflix and constantly on tour. Go see him. I mean, the guy's a fucking legend and the funniest guy.
He's one of those special comics. My uncle is like obsessed with him and he brought his wife and then they bring their kids and now the kids bring the grandkids and they all go. It's like a thing.
It's amazing. And DePaulo tells that story when he first moved to New York. The first guy he saw was Regan. He's like, I got to move back to Boston. I can't even hang with this. And then they were like, no, no, that's Brian Regan.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay. So that's not just...
that's not everybody.
People are like, that's not what it's like here. You're fine.
Right. Where did he see him? Caroline's?
I think it might have been The Cellar or whatever. Way back. This is like 87 or whatever. Or 90. I guess he moved here in 90.
We're geeking out here, folks. Sorry.
But so anyways, that was exciting. And I'm playing pool with Regan and Peter Farrelly singing. Literally, I'm playing pool with Brian Regan while Peter Farrelly is doing karaoke.
Oh, you're in the middle of comedy heaven.
And I'm in like a $15 million mansion, by the way. This is the next night, so it's like a much bigger.
Yes.
This huge mansion, ocean front. It's crazy.
Whose homes are these?
They're
they rent
these socialite people.
But they are they there?
They're there.
Okay.
They're hosting a the thing. It's open bar and a pile of food. And
oh man!
This is how high society works.
Wow, I would feel weird in there. Like they don't even know who I am. They're
I felt really weird
sit on their couch.
Super weird, and like it's like a lot of trust. They're just kind of walking around, and like they own all this stuff. There's photo albums and all the shit.
Wow.
But then you go, what am I gonna do? I can't fuck around. They're having me in their home, so it's a nice glimpse into society. When it works, they're going, yeah, welcome, come on in, and you're going, all right, well, what am I gonna? There's a trust. Love there.
Was Aaron Jackson just flipping out the whole time?
Everyone. I mean, we're all kept going, this is fucking crazy. Can you believe this?
Unbelievable.
It's nuts. So then we do that. And then the third Friday night's party, and like they said, Eric's house gets more insane. We were at a $28 million home.
Holy Moses.
On the edge of Nantucket, like the last house. It just dips into the ocean. It's huge. It's like a 28-bedroom.
Wow.
There was a guy named Jeff Ross, not the comedian.
Thank God.
He played guitar with fucking Lou Reed. He's like a real musician. He's probably making 10 grand. Open bar again, food, and like a butler and a thing, a live-in cook. It was crazy.
Unreal.
And there's a breeze blowing off the... it was magical.
You
it
hear
was
those
amazing.
Waves crashing.
Yeah, and Gavin sneaking off to smoke weed, and everyone's drinking and laughing. Story time, yucking it up. Everyone's shitting on all the rich people as they walk by. Like, look at this piece of shit.
Wow.
It was a classic hang, because it felt like Caddyshack, you
yes.
know?
Yes.
It was the slobs and the, what do you call it?
You got the soch and the greasers.
What was this? It was the Caddyshack, they called it. It was a tagline. The slobs and gobs. Someone rich.
Yeah.
Nah, I can't think of it. Nah, snobs!
Snobs!
The snobs and the slobs.
There it is.
But they weren't snobs. They had us in their house. Maybe they're snobby.
They're nice. Sounds like nice people. I think when you're that rich, you're just like, why do I have no reason to be mean?
Right. But that was pretty neat, and then I was going somewhere with this.
Big House, Waves, Regan, Farrelly, Pete Lee, Freed, comedy. You finally did a comedy show. You got the ocean air breathing through your vagina lips. The labia is flapping.
I forgot to tell this story about getting there.
Uh-huh.
Because I got to fly out of Teterboro, and I was spoiled. The whole time I was with Louie, they sent a car.
Yeah.
Would pick me up and take me there.
Oh, it's a bitch to get there.
So I had an idea for Teterboro. I was like, I'll take the 7 train from Queens to Hudson Yards, which is right at the edge of the river, the end of Manhattan,
sure.
going west.
Yes.
Because I was like, it'll be a shorter cab ride. I'll cut out all the cab ride.
Smart.
Thank you. Then I get off. I get in a cab. Evidently, it's a flat fee to Teterboro.
Oh.
But the guy, the first cab driver, he goes, what do you want to pay? And I was like, what do you mean, what do I want? The meter. He's like, no meter to Jersey. And I go, well, what the fuck? He goes, well, what do you want to pay? I go, $25. He starts laughing. He's like, 60 bucks. 60. And I'm trying to assert myself. I'm in therapy. I go, no fucking chance in hell, pal. Nice try.
Yeah.
I grab my suitcase. I jump. I kick the door shut. I go, you motherfucker, trying to fuck me? And then I realize I'm late for my flight. I gotta get. I gotta go. Boy. I have to go. So the next cab comes. I wag him down. I jump in. I go, Teterboro. He goes, $86 flat fee. I go, step on it, pal. I lost $26 trying to assert myself.
Did you tip?
I tipped also.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
But this guy was nice, but he's like, show me the book. He's like, look at the book. He's like, it's gone up. He's like, that's the old book. But then I realized, though, it's a good point because I'm taking them so far from Manhattan.
Of course,
it's like a half-hour drive. So the whole point of the train ride was null and void because it's a flat fee. I could have gone on right at my house.
That's true, but I hate to be this gook, but what about Uber?
I could have taken an Uber, but the Uber said 3 minutes, and then they canceled. I had an Uber lined up, but they canceled because they probably looked and went, I don't want to drive over the fucking tunnel and then back.
Of course.
So they canceled on me, so I just got a cab, and literally it went up $30 in 10 seconds. I literally said no chance in hell and kicked the door shut.
I actually had a thing. I can't remember what it was, but I remember thinking I should assert myself right here. I should say something, and I didn't, and it worked out. I was like, thank God I didn't say anything. But I can't remember what it was.
I've never asserted myself once in my whole life, and I'm doing great. So
yeah, exactly.
I should not assert. Oh boy, we might be in trouble.
86 and change. That's tough. With Schumer, I would go to Teterboro a lot. And the first time I did Port Authority bus, you have to take two buses to get to a fucking Teterboro, and it's a bitch because the bus driver is such a cock that he, you know, you're like, you're the guy with hat in hand with your suitcase going, sir, does this stop at Main Street and Vine? And he's like, huh, what? I don't know, blow me. And you're like, okay, thank you. And you go back to your seat, and you're like, I don't know. So then you're asking people around, does this stop at Main Street and Vine? And everybody's like, nobody speaks English. So you're like, fuck. So you have to watch every street sign, you know? And then you finally get out. And then you're just at an airport. You're on the sidewalk of an airport.
Yes.
Which, you know, you're like, I made it. But then you're like, how do I get in? There's gates everywhere. There's fucking runways.
It's hard to get in there. It's chain link fences. And everyone needs a tail number and an asshole ring count.
I remember running in with a suitcase. And I found like a toll booth in there. And some guy's like, what are you doing? You got to go all the way around and do it. And I was like, fuck. And Schumer's like, where the hell are you? We're taking off. I'm like, I'm coming. I'd like jump on the plane. It was moving.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And it's also weird when you take a bus to a private jet.
Aha, two like, buses, mind
you're
you.
You're like, this is very odd.
Right.
Anyway, so that was exciting. But then, fuck, there's so much to get to with Nantucket. But the show, so then Thursday night, it was the women's show. They do a women's showcase. And this is the first time I've sat in the crowd and watched a show in a long time.
Women's show, that seems sexist.
Well,
no men allowed?
That's
ouch.
What they do. And do you know this girl, Regina DeCoco? Chicho?
No.
God, I got to figure out how to say her last name.
Chicho?
It's something like that. It's
Chicho.
I'm a Chicho. I gotta find out because it's so crazy. The New York comedy, you just don't know these people.
She lives here?
She lives here. She works here. And she's hilarious.
Really?
Yes, really.
I'm a Chicho. 10,000 lira.
DeCicco. DeCicco, DeCoco.
DeCicco?
DeCoco?
Dicko? The clown?
I don't even know. I feel like a terrible person. DeCicco. Maybe it's DeCicco.
Maybe DeCicco.
Regina.
Shit. DeCicco?
So I'm not all that familiar with her.
Apparently I'm not either.
And she lives right over here. She's like, I see you all the time on the Upper West Side.
What?
Sweet as pie. Funny offstage. Now I'm excited to see. When someone's, you get to know someone, you like them, they're funny offstage, you go, oh boy, I hope this isn't a fucking hack fest.
Yes.
Because that happens a lot. You meet someone, you're like, what a great guy or girl. And then you see him on stage, and you're like, oh boy.
Really?
Wish I never saw this.
Oh, it's a story of my life. What's the act like? Is it jokey?
So she's hosting the show. So I go there. I haven't watched the show in a long time. It's me and Pete and Jared. We're up there because we're not allowed on the show. So we're sitting up there. I'm kidding.
You got a dick.
So we're sitting up there, theater packed house. I'm excited about the show because there's a bunch of comics I love on there. So I'm like, this is going to be great. Regina comes out. She's emceeing murdering.
Wow.
Right out of the gate. Hilarious.
Now, is it one of these she's murdering, so you assume she's funny, or you actually like the material?
Oh, I'm laughing. I like the material. I mean, great stuff. Immediately killing. Great. She's doing some crowd work. She's doing some local stuff. She's shitting on herself. And then she does like a whole bit about going to the, a toilet gets clogged, you go down, there's no guy, they give you the fucking...
The plunger.
The plunger. She's on the elevator with a bunch of people holding a plunger. Uh-huh. It's a great bit. And talking about getting married, and that was great. They're doing a whole honeymoon. And he's like, boy, I'm glad we got along so well. Bro, we're going to kill each other.
Yeah.
She's like, what? He's like, well, this is a long time to be alone together. And she's like, We just got married. Right. Death do us part. It's like a whole bit, but she's got like a really funny voice and great energy. It just killed.
Yeah.
Fucking killed. And I'm like laughing my ass off. I'm like, this is crazy. I don't even know this girl.
All right. I'm excited to see her.
But she lives here. If you're listening, you have a show. Get Regina on the show, for God's sake. She brings out Ophira Eisenberg, who I love. Huge
love
fan of Ophira.
Big fan.
And she's got a bunch of new stuff because she had a baby. She kills. She's great. And then Aaron Jackson comes out. Aaron Jackson is one of the funniest comics in the city.
I love Aaron Jackson. She works the cellar every now and then.
She stopped getting spots, which is frustrating.
Oh,
that happens sometimes.
Very interesting.
But she's got, like, killer stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Killer.
She's a pro.
She's talking about her mother trying to take a selfie, and her mother doesn't know how to take a selfie, so she's like, well, point the camera, press the button that flips it around. And she's like, okay. And she's like, do you see yourself in the camera, in the phone? She's like, I don't know. She's like, I don't know how to respond to that.
Uh-huh.
She goes, you know the lady that lives in all your mirrors? Do you see her right now? I was like, that's like Louis S. It's one of the funniest jokes I've heard in a while. But anyways, she just fucking brought the house down. And then Kendra Cunningham, who I think is hilarious, Boston gal. She's great. She killed. And then Veronica Mosey closed it, but I had to take a phone call, so I missed most of Veronica's set.
No, sorry about that call.
But she's a killer also, so I'm sure she killed. But it was a great show, and I hadn't seen a show from like the seats in a long time. I got some M&M's, because it was in a movie theater. I got some M&M's and a Coke and just sat and enjoyed the show and laughed, and it was great.
It's killer, a good time.
Killer show, fun night. Check those guys out, especially Aaron. Aaron Jackson is so funny, and a great hang. We spent some. We played Cornhole. She had never played. That was
nice.
Fun. Just a great hang. And then Kelly McFarlane was there. She wasn't on the women's show. She did an afternoon women's luncheon. So she does. It's basically like a corporate gig.
Jeez, where are all the men hiding? What are you guys doing? Just sitting in the ocean?
We didn't show up till Saturday. I mean, we didn't do a show until Saturday, which was the Boston, New York SmackDown.
I hate that SmackDown shit. We did that in Montreal. Remember that?
Yeah, that was our first Fort Day together.
That's right. I believe.
Will Fort.
Yes.
That was fun.
Fort Greene.
But yeah, we did that. And I was on Team Boston, despite living in New York for 11 years. It was me and Jimmy Dunn, who's like one of the best comics there is.
Oh, yeah?
And oh, my God.
I don't know Dunn.
Oh, killer stuff. Just a classic killer act.
All right.
And then Jim Colladen was on our team, who's another great guy. He's on the bonus episode. Check out the Patreon. He tells a great story. And then versus Pete Lee, Jared Freed, and Ross Bennett. All men on the Comedy SmackDown.
So. All men.
And Ross Bennett, another classic comic. And it was weird because I'm on Team Boston, but I traveled there with Team New York.
Yes.
So it was interesting. Team New York won. It was very whatever. Nobody cared. There's no prize or anything.
Right.
Just went, all right, Team New York. But that was a great show. Packed theater. Sold out. Everybody kills. Don't you love those shows?
I love it.
Every single person fucking kills. And we're all sitting at the side of the stage, all laughing. Everyone's hitting each other at every joke.
Yes.
I love those nights where everyone's watching each other, and then the girls are in the audience. Foxworthy's in the audience. Didn't laugh one time during my set.
Not once.
I kept looking over there. He hated me.
Did he laugh at anyone else? That mustachioed faggot.
I watched him during Colin's set. He was high. He looked like Def Comedy Jam out there.
Wow. You know what? He knew about the chicken lie. He knew you were onto him.
Maybe he knew. Maybe I gave him a crook eye.
You gave him the stink eye.
But I did my cowboy hat joke. Maybe he didn't like that.
Oh, that's what it was. He's a southern weirdo.
Maybe, but I think, I don't know. I don't know what it was. He wasn't feeling me. He wasn't feeling it.
But, not a mustache twinkle, not a nothing, not a smirk.
Nothing. Nothing.
Wow.
But Gavin was in the audience. It's so exciting. Don Gavin's watching the show from the crowd.
What
like
a
this
legend.
Guy. My God. I mean, all these guys I knew when I was 18 years old.
Yes. Now, was he laughing?
I don't know. I imagine he might have been napping. I have no idea.
Yeah,
I hope he was laughing.
He was said, like me in a movie theater.
Yeah, he said great job. So who knows? And then the after party was great. We played cornhole, and it was really just a great time. And then yesterday, Sunday, and this is a week old now, sorry, they had a big yacht. They take everyone out on a big yacht.
Yes.
But I couldn't do it because originally I was like, I got to go back Sunday. I just can't be on vacation my whole life.
Right.
But my flight didn't leave till 5:30, so I kind of had a day by myself, which I actually, you know me, I enjoy that quite a bit.
Love a little me time.
I like to be a good loner, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So once again, I rented a bike. I rode to Mattaquette. I might be saying that wrong. Mattaquette, I think, beach.
To Cheeky.
Which is on the other side of the island. It was a spiritual day. I'm gonna get all douchey and gay here.
Gay it up!
Amazing day. I get my, I take my shirt off, sun's out,
yeah,
guns out.
Yeah.
I got my backpack on. I got my bathing suit in the backpack. I had a nice double burger from Stubby's. If you go to Nantucket, go to Stubby's, get yourself a nice double burger. I had nine of them. I got on the bike.
Is that two patties?
Two patties.
Ooh, that's heavy, man.
Oh, it's fun. A big bun. It's wet with the seeds. And the seeds scrape your asshole coming out.
Yeah, scratch that hole.
Yeah, Sarah won't do it anymore. So I have the seeds do the work.
She's changed.
And seed change. Uh-huh. So I get on the bike and I ride out. I already went to Cisco the other day. So this time I'm going to change it up. I go to Matticat. This bike ride, I posted on Instagram a video of it. The most spectacular bike ride, most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life. It's like wildlife. It's all preservations out there.
Wow.
Because you have the town. It's all cobblestony and beautiful. But then you get out there, and it's like, I saw these bright yellow birds. They look like they ran on batteries. They're so bright.
Huh.
Fluorescent. I saw a bright red cardinal. Yellow birds. Oh. Cardinals. All kinds of.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, there's a hawk just floating around. He keeps flying in front of the sun, so this big shadow comes across the whole thing. I kept stopping. I'm just looking at this hawk. I'm one with the earth. I'm gay. I'm beating off on leaves.
Yes. Jizz on that leaf.
Unbelievable out there. And then I stop at this little brook river thing, and I got to post this video. There's 1,000 little minnows, and then these big fish are swimming through. It goes whoosh, whoosh.
Whoa.
I'll show you the video. The whole river looks black because there's so many fish, and they all move. It was like watching Planet Earth, but in real life.
That's HD, baby.
It was unbelievable. Huge dick.
Yes.
So I do that. I get out to the beach, and I go down there. I park the bike. I lock it up. I walk down. I change into my bathing suit. I swim for about 40 minutes, just me, and there's people everywhere, but I'm just by myself swimming in there, letting the ocean take me and spin me and cork me.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, how have I ever had anxiety at any point in my life?
Oh, wow. You're on Xanax.
But I recognize it'll come back like waves.
Of course.
Like the waves I'm in. It'll be here, but it doesn't mean anything. It's there and it's gone.
It's all fabricated.
It's back and forth and up and down and over and out.
Yeah.
And then I get up and I'm just standing on the beach. I'm looking at the ocean. I don't even know what to look at. It's so beautiful. There's the horizon is spectacular.
Wow.
Then there's the white water scooshing over my feet. And then the sand is sexy. And then there's girls and there's guys and there's birds and I'm gay.
Yes.
And then I go and dry off and I stare at everybody and it's fun. I'm just going, what a scene. It's like a painting. I'm living inside of a painting.
You're in a painting.
Then I go and I just ride back and I dry off and I'm whipping and whirling around the bike path. I keep getting off. I went and hiked for a little bit.
Oh my God.
It was spiritual. And I came back and had a cigar and just dried off and I was waiting for my flight. I had a nice big long smoke and I had the Jack Johnson going and I meditated and boy, it was special. I was just looking at my bike. I'm like, this vehicle that we went on this adventure together.
Yes, it's your steed.
I felt great about it. Great steed.
Now, then, what's the airport situation like? Because I bet the airport's pretty nice over there. Open air, I'm imagining. Birds everywhere. Palm trees.
Well, it's got some open air sections, but it's also closed because of the winter. It's fucking brutal and shit.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's one little airstrip smaller than... It's like a quarter of the size of Teterboro. That's how small it is.
Oh, wow.
And that... You're just kind of sitting there. This JetBlue flies there. And then there's Cape Air. And then there's Tradewind, which is like a little chata fucking ship.
Yeah.
Boat, plane.
Yes.
And so I sit there. And then the flight home. How about this? I got two dogs on my flight.
Yeah.
It's so strange. Like, they just have, like big dogs. Like, a dog just gets on. The lady's, like, carrying her own baby. There's no, like, regulations. It's very odd.
Wow. Like a Malamute?
I don't know what that is.
Big dog.
Yeah, this is like a big show dog, status dog.
Ah, yes, I hear you.
And this is really funny. I'm going to try to do this as a bit. There was like a 2 or 3 year old, a toddler on the plane, and the woman just carries him on, and he's sleeping when you get on the plane. And he's just kind of sleeping through it. And then we take off. Somehow he sleeps through takeoff. And then he wakes up in the middle of the air, and he starts going, I swear to God, he goes, whoa!
Like whoa! Joey Lawrence?
He sounded a little bit like Joey Lawrence.
Wow.
But he's yelling, whoa, this kid goes to bed for a nap in the car,
uh-huh.
And he wakes up and we're 5 miles in the air.
Yeah, that's weird.
But it was a genuine reaction. He just kept going, whoa, whoa.
That's jarring.
It must be hard to explain. Like, yeah, we're in the air. Like, he must be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
It was cuckoo.
Not a bad way to wake up.
Yeah, pretty neat. So that was great. Go back to Teterboro. And then I had to call my own, like, car service, which was cost me $1 million.
Yeah.
And but that was neat. And came back, and now I'm home. Great to be home. I was at the Cellar last night. Cuba Gooding Jr. was there.
Hey, Cuba.
Yeah, that's an Oscar winner.
That's right. Show me the money.
Overrated film of all time.
You think so?
Oh, my God. Jerry Maguire's trash.
What? I think it's a fine film. I don't think it's trash. I don't know if it's best picture of the year.
Maybe not trash, but overrated for sure.
All right. I wonder why everybody likes it so much.
It's just silly. I mean, that end scene where he's dancing is like so ridiculous. You get a penalty, you'd be kicked out of the league for that.
Right, right. And I think people like that little kid.
He's great. Isn't
he's cute.
He's funny. Yeah, human head weighs 8 pounds. Also, the relationship is based on nothing. It's not going to work out.
Mm.
He's like an asshole. She just kind of goes with him. He's still a dick. It's very odd.
She's very into him, though.
Yeah, but it doesn't really make sense.
All right.
It's not a great movie.
It's a Crow. It's a Cameron.
Yeah, he's got a lot of not great things.
Ridgemont High was fun.
Which one?
Fast Times.
Yeah, he didn't actually direct that, though.
Oh, did he write it?
He wrote it, but didn't direct it. But yeah, that's one of the best movies ever.
Then he had Elizabethtown, which is a real poop shoot.
That's a poop shoot, and it's a poop. Almost Famous is great.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Fast Times is amazing. That was Amy Heckerling, I think, directed that.
Hmm. Did she do Wayne's World? Oh, that was Phoebe.
She did Clueless.
That's the one, yeah.
She has two real classic, Clueless and Fast Times. Two really great movies.
Great. I love Clueless. I own it, sadly.
Oh, it's amazing.
I got a real thing for Stacey Dash, but then I realized she was like a nut Trump chick.
Alicia Silverstone, for about 3 years of my life, was the hottest I could imagine a woman being.
I never got her.
Oh, my God. And that I thought she was like unbelievable. I mean, I was 13 or whatever.
Yeah. She was sexy, but I didn't find her attractive.
And those videos, I forget it. I
oh,
was
the
obsessed.
Aerosmith.
Yes.
Woo-wee, that was Liv Tye.
Yeah, she kind of blew up.
Yeah, what happened
to her? I don't mean her career.
No, the career died. She was in Playboy, that's for sure. I definitely had that issue. Good times.
I think I got everything I had.
I was crying when I met you. Now I'm trying to forget you.
Yeah, those are those weird songs where like, they're back, Aerosmith, and then you listen and you're like, this is not what the...
Oh, remember Pink? Pink, it's my favorite color.
That song's about pussy, I believe.
I believe, but Jesus, get it together. I could have written that with my asshole.
Yeah, it's weird because you kind of accept it like, all right, they're good again. But then you listen to like the early stuff and you're like, oh,
right.
They're like a hard rockin' blues band.
Yeah.
It ain't as it living like a gypsy Italian, honey. How it, and then you're like, I'm crying, Timmy.
I know.
Like, come on with this.
And fucking...
don't want to miss a thing.
Ugh, I do. Chili Peppers had some stinkeroos at the end, too.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of the Chili Peppers. I don't. It's not my cup.
A little too underwear jizzy?
Too California. Blah. There's a few that I like. Like Soul to Squeeze, I love.
Yeah.
But even Under the Bridge, I'm like, eh.
I like that song, but
it's
fine. Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Oh, yeah. Come on, get out of here.
They're silly.
There's a lot of silly, but yeah, there's some stuff.
They got some stuff.
Yeah.
Aeroplane.
I actually like that album. They hate it. One Hot Minute was my favorite album of theirs. My friends are so depressed.
There
I like that
go.
One because they are.
You know what I hate is when somebody goes, nice singing voice. Why is singing voice the one thing you're allowed to openly make fun of? Because I can't be like, nice face, dick. You know?
Right.
But singing voice, for some reason, you're allowed to shit on. What if I really cared about my singing voice?
Yeah, it's a little rough.
Yeah, I mean, I accept it. I can't sing, but it's weird that you can just be like, you're bad at that.
Yeah, I suppose you can.
Yeah, not many other things you can just go, hey, you're ugly, or you're fat, or you're gross, or you're gay. That's all not allowed.
Well, we've talked about it before. I mean, like, the body-shaming men is the most accepted. It's like one of the craziest double standards
completely
of
accepted.
All time.
Yes.
Like, people, you take your shirt off, oh, you're going to do some push-ups.
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
People do that all the time.
Well,
you post a photo, people are like, look at this fucking idiot.
I talked to a girl about it, and she was like, well, because women are judged by their looks, so it's allowed. Men aren't. You know, if you're ugly, you're still, like, allowed to be whatever.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's awful how women are treated based on their looks. It sucks.
I agree.
But, like, it's such a crazy, like the Chris Christie and the Donald Trump with the tennis thing
and he's
naked everywhere. It's just, like, it's just a completely openly acceptable and encouraged thing.
Yeah, and you'd think if you hate it when it's done to you, maybe not do it to someone else.
It's very odd.
Equality.
But what are you going to do?
But here's my thing with the women, the judging women by their look, which is true. People do that. But women do it just as much.
Right.
But men get in trouble for it. You know, women go, that fat bitch, fuck her, that slut. That's slut shaming and fat shaming, both done by women, but no one cares. All right.
I don't know anything about anything. Right. Hey, we're not running for office here.
I am senator of Nantucket.
That's not a state.
Judicial appointed. Gubernatorial.
Twice.
That's right.
Well, we got to wrap up. Get a fucking t-shirt, for God's sakes.
Yes.
What are you waiting for?
Jesus Christ. We got a Tuesday and a Tuesday Chipotle lookalike. So you got options, folks.
Plenty of shirts still available. Merchpump.com/Tuesdays. Get them for your wife. Get them for your husband. Get them for your grandma. Get them for your dead aunt.
Yes. Fuck that cunt.
Check out the Patreon. There's bonus stuff up there right now. You're not going to want to miss it. I mean, it's us doing other weird shit. Some of them are nuts. We're interviewing people there. It's a little different than the podcast, so check it out. And then we're going to have live podcasts on there as well. So check that out. I got to make a living here. I got $13,000 worth of fucking dental work.
You got posts in your head.
Screws.
You
screwed me.
You're Uncle Screw.
Uncle Screw, baby. Dates. I got a lot of dates. They're mostly the same ones I've been plugging. Check out my website, Comedian Joe List. Zany's Rosemont in December. Why? It's never too early to start plugging. December 13th to the 16th. Vermont Comedy Club in Burlington. I'm coming to you. You heard me, Carl. I'm coming there December 21st, 22nd, 23rd, Christmas week. And then New Year's Eve in Grand Rapids at, what the hell's the name of that club?
Dr. Grins.
Dr. Nipple. I'm going to be there for that. And, check that out. That's going to be something. I'm farting. Oh, there it goes.
I tasted it.
Sorry, young lady. Rooster Teeth Feathers, I'm back there October 19th, 21st, 22nd.
Jeez, you go there 3 times a week.
I'll be there with Sarah Talamash. I got Stress Factory coming out. Comedy Work, Saratoga. DC Draft House. October's a big month. Check it out, everybody. I'll be there.
Big month. Big heavy flow coming out of this veg here. Syracuse, Funny Bone. Lord knows I need you. I bomb every time I go to this club. It's in a mall. I hate myself. Please come out and laugh because the locals never do. Then I'm in New Orleans, August 15th. Please come to One Eyed Jack's. Got 2 shows that night. So pick one and go to one and blow me. Then we got the Helium in Portland. Lord knows I need you on that. One of my favorite clubs in the whole country, favorite cities. I like the show, too. Toronto, come say hello for JFL. And Royal Oak, Michigan, Comedy Castle. That'll be a hot number. Sacramento Punchline in November. And the comic strip at Edmonton, Canada. San Francisco Punchline in December. Comedy Connection in December. We got a lot of good stuff. And you want to get on that Patreon because there's so much more content coming out that you don't want to miss. So, by the way, we'll be in whatever city we're going to be in. We'll have little snippets from that city.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do snippets. Tempe, baby. We're going to do a live one. We're going to do snippets. We're going to do everything. And that's $3.
Yeah, you can't beat that. And Tempe's going to be nuts. So come out to that. We're doing a live pod, and we're co-headlining. And I've already gotten a lot of tweets saying I'm coming to Tempe. So that's going to be a hot show.
I'll be married.
Oh, my God. He'll be a husband, and I'll be sad. So come on out, folks. And we'll see you in hell Tuesday.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Aha! Uh-huh.